That was wonderful, Phil. Who am I on? Already? It is? I didn't even push that other button. Great. Well, I want you to all know that I'm not 100%. But you probably knew that already. I got chilled Friday night, and I just haven't gotten warm yet. So I've got a little sinus thing going on again. Maybe this is one of the deals with Southwest Missouri. I mean, I just don't know. So I'm going to find some local honey and see if that won't do the trick. We'll just keep on and on. And did you have a good wedding shower yesterday? Kind of fun, kind of a neat deal. Very, very good. Looking forward to that Saturday. Very, very soon. Very soon. Okay, did I already tell you I'm not 100%? So this is going to be fun, but maybe it's the way the Lord just wants to slow me down a little bit. Sometimes there's just so much in Scripture and just running so fast, sometimes I'll have a tendency to run over and go through too quickly, so we'll try to go a little bit slower this morning. That means lunchtime is about 12:30. I'm kidding. Lionel, I'm kidding. Okay. I mean, we've been here a month, so we're just getting to know one another, right? Oh. Thank you, Dalton, for reading 2 Corinthians 5, verse 21. 5, verses 16 through 21 this morning. So picking up from there, first couple of verses, let's look into that, and then we'll work through it. And what we're mainly going to focus on is the concept of reconciliation this morning, and also the concept of being an ambassador. So you might kind of keep that in mind, and I'll try to fill in the blanks there. But in verse 16 of 2 Corinthians 5, Scripture reads that, "So, therefore, from now on we regard no one from a worldly point of view. Though we once regarded Christ in this way, we do so no longer. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old is gone and the new has come." Well, this is a good place to start, isn't it? It's kind of where we all start. And even though I'm not 100% today, it is not going to stop me from celebrating. This is a huge day. This is one that I am glad to share with you. There was a time in my life where I regarded Christ from a worldly point of view. I regarded him just purely from a human, in a purely human way, according to the flesh. I just didn't consider him very much at all. I wanted to live my own life. I had my own energies. I had my own goals. I had my own focus. And I guess you could probably call me a Corinthian, like it was a term used in the first century. To be a Corinthian, even though you lived in a place that was very rich, very wealthy, people had a lot of time on their hands, they had a lot of money. And therefore, they had a real tendency not to be real wise with that time and money. In the city of Corinth, which was about 600,000 people in the day of Paul, it ranked second in Greece only to Athens because that was the capital city. But it's only like 30 to 40 miles away from Athens. So it wasn't that far, but it was right on that isthmus there between the seas. There's a huge, it's almost like a Acropolis rock. It just sticks up on the plain at Corinth. It goes way, way up. And it kind of commands the whole plain. There is a great place in case Corinthians were ever attacked. They could run into there real easily and defend there. At the top of that rock was a temple dedicated to Aphrodite. And there were 1,000 cult prostitutes that worked that place. And so to be known as a Corinthian means you're a very licentious person. That you are not steady, you were self-focused and wanted to do things your own way. I guess I guess there's not a whole lot of difference between what we're experiencing today, is there, in this country? I mean, what does it mean to be an American today? Some of us have a still remember though what it means, and we're wanting to be the best foot forward. But you talk to folks overseas sometimes, and when they talk about Americans, they don't see you folk. They see folks that are self-absorbed, self-possessed, who have a lot of wealth and have a lot of time on their hands, and basically up to no good, looking for all kinds of no good things. But what they see is what they perceive in the pop culture, the music, the movies, and things like that. They think all Americans, they think that's across the board. This is how America is, where you and I in Ava, Missouri, realize that that's not typical Americans. But in some places in this country, it is. And then Washington, D.C. is so politically correct, they're morally wrong. But that's the way that scenario goes. So it means different things to different people. And again, you could just throw me in there. In my growing up years, high school, junior college, in that area, I was not liking God. I didn't even want to hear it, or every time I used his name or the name of Jesus, it was not with respectful words or a respectful tone. And that's why this day is very important. Because I look 39, don't I? Yeah, 39 years ago, February 3rd, 1974, I settled it with God. And I left the building and decided to walk with him. And I'm so thankful, I'm so glad that we can know each other in this way, and we can know Christ, not in a worldly fashion, in a worldly way, but in the way that he really is for all eternity. But you know, our beliefs and our worldview is so important. I would like to refer to you to a lady by the name of Randy Armstrong. She had two daughters, and she moved from California to Staten Island, New York. This is a while ago in 96. But as she and her daughters were living in their flat, they started this itch. And they couldn't shake it. They just were itching all the time. Also, they were fatigued. They had headaches. And they had cold and flu symptoms. I don't think that's what I have right now. But they had these cold and flu-like symptoms all of the time. Sometimes they had to spend days in bed. And sometimes they would miss school and work, and it was really aggravation to them. So Miss Randy, she went to the landlord and asked him what was going on, if he knew anything about it. He didn't know anything. She went to the doctor, asked him. He didn't know what was going on either. But one day, she did turn on the television news, and they were doing a report. Now, see, there is some good things television gives us. She was looking at this report, and it was talking about this noxious black mold. And that sometimes these symptoms would occur, and it would just proliferate in dark, warm, and moist places. And the way Staten Island is situated geographically, the water table is very high. So basements, things like that, are always moist, and the buildings have a real moistness to them. Well, this report on the television news was saying that, yes, they had to close a library because of it, and they had to close a daycare center because of that, and so she wondered. As she looked through her apartment, she began to see this streaky black stuff on the walls and the ceilings of her apartment. It was clinging to that. And so here she is in this situation, just moved there with her two daughters. What do you do? What can you do? Well, the only thing you can do is move out. And the sooner the better, ASAP. Which is exactly what she did. The point of this story is that sick buildings make people physically ill. Also, belief systems, worldviews, and even religions create emotional and spiritual sickness in folks. And so what can we do? What is the only thing to do? Move out. Move on. You can't fix it. The best thing to do is leave it. Get out into the fresh air. Get out into the sunshine. Get out into the place where the grass is green and where things are different, things are right and healthy. You know, that's all that a person can do. Thankfully, it dawned on me to get out of the building that was coming down in 1974. What was your day? What was that time when you saw Christ in all of His glory, in all of His unfailing, His perfect agape love, and realized it was for you? It wasn't daddy, it wasn't mommy, it wasn't cousin, it wasn't uncle, it wasn't aunt, it wasn't friend, it was for you. And you. As if you were the only one who had sinned and fallen short of God's glory, Christ died for you. I'm thinking that is good news. We see Christ now not in a worldly point of view or from a worldly way or from a worldly perspective. We see Him in His eternal view or the eternal view. We see Him in all of His glory. We see Him in all of His majesty, giving that up to walk this world with us, to get down into the grunge and the grime and the mold and all of that, and to help us out of that. Great, great news, but we have to get to that point where we now see Jesus the Christ clearly and understand what He has done for us. Now, when we do come, or we are united with Christ, if we are become in Christ, as verse 17 says in 2 Corinthians verse 5, therefore, if we come to our senses, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Right? Again, good news. The old is gone, the new has come. That now, with things brand new. That's me. And it wasn't an immediate change. It's been step by step. It's been one degree of faith to the next, and a lot of God's grace in the midst of that, so that I can share this with you today. I'm so thankful for that privilege. But I realize from the get-go, and you'll get to understand it more and more too, I'm totally here by God's grace. Totally. And if there's anything good you ever see in me or ever hear from me, is because of Christ in me, the hope and glory. As you leave it to me, I'm a sick, sick person. But that's all changed. I'm now a new creation by God's work within me. So let us look a little while into this concept of reconciliation and into that. Because if we move right along through verses 18 through 20, we read these words from inspired Apostle Paul. This idea of being a new creation, the old is gone, the new has come, all this is from God, who reconciled us to Himself through Christ and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. That God was reconciling the world to Himself in Christ, not counting men's sins against them. And He has committed to us the message of reconciliation. We are therefore Christ's ambassadors, as though God were making His appeal through us. We implore you. Another word, you might say, we beg you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. Five times within these three verses, it talks about reconciliation. So let's look at that just a little bit, okay? Now it's through Christ and everything He has done. It's through Christ's incarnation, His coming into this realm in this life. Is at His cross, reconciliation. That's a facet of reconciliation. It's in His resurrection. It is in His ascension back to God's right hand where He is right now, and is also when He returns, there'll be the final reconciliation in the reality of that. The interesting thing about this concept of reconciliation, kind of write this or mentally take a note of this, it is never God who is reconciled, is referred to as being reconciled. Never, ever in Scripture is God referred to as the one being reconciled. This is only on me. Because God has never changed. God has been consistent. You turn back to Genesis chapter 3 in Adam and Eve when they had their little the thing when they decided they would despise God and His Word and despise His authority and His rule and despise His love and spit in His face and partake of the fruit, that God met them like in the regular routine. We see Him walking in the garden. That's what they usually did. They walked in the garden. God doesn't move. God doesn't change. He was going to meet His appointment because of His love, because of His great love in all of that. Who moved? Who hid themselves? And why? God. God didn't. Adam and Eve did. So in Scripture, this concept of reconciliation, it is totally upon me. It is totally upon a human being because we're the ones who have enmity against God. Remember Genesis chapter 3. He talked to the serpent and said, from now on, you and this woman's seed, there's going to be enmity between you. And I don't know, I've heard people talk about snakes. I've seen them behind glass in zoos, but that's as close as I want to get. There's a great enmity between me and the reptile world. I just simply want to point out that I'm the one who moved away from God. He has poured out His love for me. He has given me all that I needed, food, clothing, air, water. He's provided all that because of His great love. But there was a day when I spit in His face. And when I didn't want anything to do with Him, and I started to hate God. I didn't want to hear anything about Him. I didn't want to hear anything from Him. I wanted to totally, totally separate myself from Him. That's why reconciliation is all upon me. I've got to come to my senses and return. Come back to God, and so that enmity between us is taken away. I now want God to be my God and my friend. I want a relationship with Him who gave me life, who created me in His image. I don't want to be in charge. I want God to be in charge, but I had to come to that point, to come to that realization so that reconciliation could be made, so that enmity be taken care of. That is what I want now, but I've got to move. I've got to move. You see, again, God doesn't ever change, but He acts differently towards those who come to Him. He acts how? By faith. Through Christ Jesus and His sacrifice at the cross. Now God can deal with me differently. Even not only that, God's attitude changes towards those who change. He is still the same. He's still the same. See, God doesn't change, but He always acts according to His unchanging righteousness. That is why He resolved the dilemma, separation of myself from Him at the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ. There at the cross, according to Romans 3, verses 25 and 26, read along with me or hear these words. In 25 and 26, God presented Jesus as a sacrifice of atonement. That's what the New International Version says, and hopefully it communicates, but the word that is used there in the King James Version is propitiation. Is a propitiation that now God presented Christ as a propitiation, a sacrifice of atonement. And He did this in order to present His justice and to be the justifier. We take a quick side note in this concept of propitiation. Propitiation is something that is done to a person. It is personal. It is not just paying a fine. It is something that is very deeply personal. And in this sense, Jesus Christ propitiated the Father. Jesus Christ took upon Himself the entire wrath of a holy God. All of it. It was all poured out on Him. I'm so glad, and He was so glad, I'm sure, at that moment where He said, "It's finished." It's finished. In a sense, Jesus is saying, I'm glad that's over. All of God's wrath against sin was poured out upon Him. And Jesus Christ, in Him only, has turned God's wrath away from guilty sinners, of which I am the chief, because I've got the microphone. How? Jesus Christ did that by enduring the wrath of God poured out upon Himself. Well, that changes the way I look at, I perceive, I partake of the Lord's Supper. That changes. It changes, and it motivates me because I want a friend like that. I want to be good. I want to do him right. I want to be used by Him because I owe Him everything. Isn't that right? Owe Him everything. And by this sacrifice of the Lord Jesus Christ at the cross, God dealt with sin so that He can now deal with me in accordance with His mercy. He can now see me differently. There was a photograph one time taken by a Canadian press service, and in this photograph was a picture of a man lying on his back in the middle of a dirt road. But we come to find out that this picture was taken in Cuba. This man was on his way from Havana to a place called St. Lazarus. I don't know if it's a monastery or sanctuary or something like that. And the picture of this bearded man was him laying on his back in the middle of this dirty road. And he had attached to his ankle a long chain. And attached to that chain was a big rock. And you ask, what is going on here? Or then you ask the deeper question is, why is he doing that? Well, the story and the headline was, this man had found his way to appease God's wrath. This is what he was doing. This was his pilgrimage. He was on a pilgrimage dragging this chain and rock by the ankle on his back all the way from Havana to this monastery. And this is decided, this is what God, what he felt God wanted him to do in order to appease the wrath of God. Well, I'm sorry. Man is very misguided in that, in his devotion. Devoted, yes. Misguided, double yes. Why? Because a person can do absolutely nothing to atone for our sins and appease God's wrath. There's no amount of good we can do. There's no amount of money we can give. There's no amount of anything good that we can say that will appease God's wrath. Only in Christ Jesus was that handled and was that managed. Because that's where God poured out all of His wrath, on Jesus Christ. And if I am in Him, if I am in Christ, I'm a new creation. Behold, the old things have passed away. All things are brand new. I am now reconciled with my Creator. It means to be, to change, to exchange. It was used oftentimes and primarily in the idea of money exchange in that particular day, but it also of persons. Reconciliation means to change from enmity to friendship, to be reconciled. And that day, in 1974, when I was united with Christ, my enmity died and was replaced by a love that is continuing to change me. I'm sorry I'm not farther along than I am, but maybe you'll see some more growth. Hope, thank you for your encouragement and all that. And I'll try to do the same for you as well. But we're growing more and more in our relationship and friendship to God, because of what He's done. And that makes me, that makes us an ambassador. To close out verse 20, here in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, let's don't get too far away from that. In verse 20 we read that, we are therefore, because of all of that that's gone on, we are therefore Christ's ambassadors, as though God were making his appeal through us. We implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. Now, I didn't know what God was going to do with me. I didn't know where he was going to send me. I sure didn't think he was Siberia, but he did. And then Estonia, but he did. But it didn't make any difference because now I'm his. And I want a relationship with him to do whatever he says, go wherever he says go, and speak when he says speak. I am now Christ's ambassador, and hopefully he'll give me a few more years to do that. But it comes from the Greek word presbuo. And you may kind of recognize the term if you've done studies on elders. You know, presbyteros is part of the term. It just simply means to be elder or to be the oldest. Or, you know, it's in conjunction with birth and age. It's just talking about older folk. But there's a second way it's used, and that is this term, ambassador. It's also an ambassador, which may signify, at least in that particular day, that the ambassadors were those who were older. You know, statesmen ambassadors kind of a thing. They'd lived their life, and now they were representing their country around the world. And it's used in the New Testament, Ephesians 6 and 20, again, being an ambassador in chains, Paul talks about. In Philemon 9, it talks about, Paul's just talking about being older in the faith there. So it's kind of interchangeable there. So in the New Testament, this idea of ambassador is to be, to work, to travel as an envoy or as an ambassador. What is great about this word, when you look in the Old Testament, it had three different facets or functions. In Isaiah 18 and verse 2, Scripture just simply speaks of go, swift messengers. Go, you swift ambassadors. It kind of has that concept. So an ambassador, or one facet of his work, is that he goes. He has to go away from his home to a foreign land. Well, in Isaiah 37, 9 and 14, when you see this tension between Sennacherib and Hezekiah, Sennacherib's doing this battle out there, but he wants Hezekiah to know that he's coming to deal with him. Well, Sennacherib sends messengers. He sends messengers to tell Hezekiah just exactly how the cow ate the cabbage and what he's going to do to him and his people. And in that term, he was an ambassador. And so that facet of being an ambassador is one who is sent with a higher authority. Those who came to Hezekiah, King Hezekiah at that particular time, were not the king. They were just representing the king. They were his messengers. And then the final use of in the Old Covenant or the Old Testament of ambassador is Genesis 42 in verse 23, where Joseph's brothers went before Joseph when he was second in command, and Scripture there says that they did not recognize that Joseph could understand them. Why was that? Since he was using an ambassador, an interpreter. Joseph was working through an interpreter. So an ambassador is one who interprets his master's mind and policy because he has understanding of what's going on there. I thought that was fun. I am Christ's ambassador. Because of that, he says, go. Because of that, I'm his messenger. Because of that, I'm his interpreter. And that is one of the great things about new life in Christ. Because you can remember the old life. You can remember how much was messed up. I can remember. I won't put anything on you. I can look in the mirror. I can remember how much of a mess it was. And would continue to be so. It wasn't for the propitiation of the Lord Jesus Christ. And finally resolving that I wanted a relationship with God more than anything else. It has a lot better future. A lot better future. a lot deeper. But because I remember that, now I can minister to others who've messed up. I can now help them. And they can see it in my eyes and they can feel it from my heart. Knowing, yeah, been there, done that, know exactly what's going on. Got the t-shirt. Ran that race. Got the t-shirt. But you know what? When I put down my enmity against God, and when I saw Jesus Christ for who his propitiation and all that he did at the cross, receiving all of God's wrath upon himself, now I can live a life that's different, that's changed, that is an ambassador of Christ. And the great thing about it this morning, you can too. So let me just ask you in closing, are you tired? Are you tired of fighting God? Are you tired of fighting, kicking against the goads? Are you tired of just going your own way and getting stopped and getting stopped up and making a mess of things and hurting and being worried? Are you tired of that? Are you tired of being angry with God, knowing he hasn't moved and he has provided? He has provided Jesus. Are you ready? Are you ready this morning to come? And then if you're ready to come, realize that God is going to make you an ambassador of his, and he's going to ask you to go. He's going to ask you to go to be his interpreter. He's going to ask you to go be his messenger with those around you, wherever you are, whatever fort you're assigned to, station, whatever you have going on, just like wherever that truck takes you, brother, whatever God wants to do with you, that he wants you to be his ambassador. But first, be reconciled to him. If you have need to be reconciled to God and to lay down your weapons and to take and be covered by the blood of Christ and receive God's forgiveness, well, this is an excellent time, isn't it? Would you just decide to do that and take care of it and manage it while we stand and while we sing?